I've grown in my maturity as a prophet. We said 12 o'clock. Okay, so the next one, for those that's still missing, you guys just need to fill him in. You can, Dong, you can just leave it on that slide. The one of the colors. I'm just going to stay on that slide, Dong. The whole, you can just be part of the team. Yeah, so this time we're going to become more practical about this. In your group now, you've pretty much got an idea. Let's say, I'm just going to use an example. This church has a lot of servant and mercy, let's say. And even the pastor is servant mercy. How is the practical implications going to be when we want to do something in the church, actually? So, I want you in your groups now to decide. The pastor pretty much is going to give the vision of, let's say we want to have planted as an event. So the pastor is going to give the event. Now who must do what role in this event now? In the planning, the decision making, whatever. I want you as a group to actually decide on this. And also to even discuss the pastor, let's say in your group, is servant. So when the pastor must give the vision, but he's not the prophet is the visionaries. But if the pastor is not a visionary, who's going to help the pastor with this part? You all understand what you need to do now? So you just become, did you say like nah? It's okay. David, someone will help you. So yes, so also even to, because you're going to see this even places of conflict again, and a lot of these things is to help us to understand one another better, and even to understand your own frustrations, but that you also understand the pastor's frustrations. Oh, you see, that's what we're trying to do here now. So yes, there's a summary of all the different giftings again. Your prophet, sorry for the red and black there, but it's the prophet is your most visionary, the ruler most systematic, mercy most intimate, servant most selfish, selfless, exhorter the most relational, teacher the most particular, the giver the most innovative. Yeah. So, how would you plan an event after getting a vision in your church? Given you, let's say, a vision instruction, and it's interesting to see what's the team dynamics in the groups, and I'm going to get to that just now. Quickly, this is actually very simple. Who's the best person to give the vision? The prophet. Okay? Which is now the next best person after the prophet to take it from the prophet, the vision? The ruler. Because the ruler needs to take the vision and breaks it down into systematic steps. What needs to happen? The prophet, always they're also going to say what it shouldn't be. Because God said. So the prophet's going to help the ruler in... Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but that is a very good strategic plan, but we're moving away from what God said originally. Then the ruler must take that original vision again, just bring it into a strategic way. Which is the next best person that you need in here? The exhorter. You need the exhorter, because the exhorter, now you need volunteers. People need to buy in now. The exhorter is the best because he can mobilize. Okay? Who's then the next best person to have? Well, from here it becomes a bit more interesting. Let's say even here at Planted, you need a team that can do hospitality. Who would that be? Okay, then you had the whole event. Now you need people to do the follow-ups. Who's the best? Or who's going to do the counseling? Mercy. The teachers is going to help with the probably the content of the event. Are you with me? The giver is going to give his time. He's going to give his resources. He will give his skill. And he will also obviously challenge others also to do the same. That's basically. But could you see, each time someone needs to give something over to another person. If you have someone that wants to stay involved with all the steps, we've got a problem. Even in your group now, who's the rulers in your group? Just put up your hands again. Rulers. Even when the pastor now said what we're going to do, who of the rulers felt, oh, just give this whole thing to me, I will figure this out for you. There's even, the chances is good, there's even a sense of, can you actually be quiet? You're going to see, I'm going to stir a bit now. If you a ruler in a church where your pastor is not a ruler, the chance is good you as the ruler feels, can the pastor just say what he wants and I will do explaining there after. It's actually good for you not to talk more. You know, there's a sense of frustration from the rulers in the room. In your group now, just for this instruction, I want you to actually quickly in your group share what was now, in this specific moment, even a frustration for you just going through this whole exercise. Do you know why we're doing that? It's because that we can learn one another's gifting better. Are you with me? So this is not to say, David, you did X, Y, Z wrong. It's you share your frustration so that he can also understand what is a typical frustration when we do something in church. Are you with me? We family? Everyone fine with this? And this is all in the context of showing honor and respect, okay? So it's not to criticize the person, but rather to say, I was frustrated with this, with this, and this, and I feel I could have helped with this. Because next time, if the pastor, especially if you're like a servant, mercy type pastor, it's sometimes really good to rather ask someone else to explain something. You know, it's like even in Pastor Fritz, you know, he's also very visionary. So, but he already knows by now, if he goes into a project or something and he do that initial apostolic thinking, apostolic relationship, he knows to tell that new relationship, yes, this is a great relationship, and now I'm going to send Yankor and Hercules to go and to work out all the detail. And then he walks away. You know, in our case, we actually, usually, most of the times, are glad that Fritz walks away. Because if he stays part of the logistics and the planning, it's going to take a million days just to pull off planted. You know? But the nice thing of Pastor Fred, he understands his own strengths and weaknesses, so he will walk away. We basically tell Fred exactly his whole plan. We plan his life for him, basically. You understand what I'm saying? So I want you to, in your group, because again, yeah, what was frustrating for you even in here, and especially even from the mercy and servants in the group, what did you feel, what did you hear, what did you actually wanted to say, but you couldn't? Another thing I want you to just notice, even when we started, some giftings are your seen giftings, and some giftings is your unseen giftings. Meaning, when we have even a group like this, your seen giftings, which is your giftings that are seen. Now, don't you can leave it the previous one. Which are the seen giftings and which is the unseen giftings? You will always see and hear the prophet. You always see and hear the ruler. You always see and hear the exhorter. The chance is good, those of you in the group that's mercy and servant, you are like just watching the rest. You know, somewhere in this, we're going to get to do something. Interesting that I can also say this. Understanding your seen and unseen giftings also. Your seen giftings are the people that love to be here. And also when that you reward a prophet, ruler, and exhorter, you usually do it in a public platform. Where if you're a servant and a mercy type person, you usually actually don't like it to be rewarded in a public platform. And they will feel rewarded by just the fact that you acknowledge that they did that thing, you know, or help with that. So even in a group like this, as the leader, it's always good also to, because your unseen giftings are always usually quiet, to draw them, you need to ask them more questions to draw them out to get their input. But at the same time, you're not going to ask the mercy person, organize the counselors. Although mercy people are the best with counseling, you're not going to ask the mercy people to organize the counselors. Does it make sense? Okay. So in your group, use the previous scenario and talk about what did you feel is, was a frustration. What would you have actually wanted to do? Or yeah, cool. Anyone understands? I think sometimes one of the problems that we have is communication and what we say and what we hear. And I want to use this group as an example. We ask her what was her frustration. She's like, she was talking about we not coming here on time. And typically, okay, now share a bit more, then she will go on and say the principle about coming on time. And so on. But she's actually not communicating what's her real issue here. Because what she actually needs to say is, I feel you guys don't respect the rest of us if you waste my time. Are you with me? But now we're talking about time, so everyone else thinks it's about the time. So your ruler is probably going to think, how are we going to get the people on time? Next time, let's say 15 minutes before 12. The tea is only 10 minutes that we work in. You understand? So, but the real problem is, if you come late and you've got a ruler in the room, they experience you not showing respect. So even in a relationship, married couples and all those things, if you said to a ruler, I'm going to be there at 12 o'clock and you're not 12 o'clock there, they experience it as a rejection. Not a rejection, but as disrespect. But then we had... Who was next? The giver here. He was talking about all these WhatsApps in the church. You know, and again, he wanted to like talk about the WhatsApps, and the conversation then wants to become about the WhatsApps. WhatsApps? Messengers, text. What do you say that? And again, in his case, the discussion should be actually about that, because in his gifting as a giver, you're wasting time. Are you with me? So he said, for example, just sent me an email. So for him, it's a stewardship thing, actually. Do you see how the giftings talks to one another? So for him, it's a stewardship issue here. Sending out so many text messages, how you say it here. Then we had a, let's say, mercy servant type person. And she said for her was frustrating, even if planted was, you know, basically she wouldn't be able to invite more people here, because here she come and we've got only one person looking after all the kids. Okay? Now, the rulers here immediately want to think about, yes, the law says you must have so many, you know. And the chance is good next year they're going to tell her, we've according to the British law, we must do this and this and this and this. What she's actually trying to say is, I don't feel we're caring here. Are you with me? The problem is, she didn't say that. We had to like facilitate it. So this is again, sometimes when we share even our frustrations, we're sharing a thing and not our heart. If you would share your frustration from your heart side to the past, I can tell you, the chances is probably 100% they would say, oh. And they would even have compassion for that. But because we sometimes take there's only one volunteer, to the pastor, He's just hearing more pressure, more burden, more frustration. I want to go like, not Moses. Yes, let's just sort out all these people, God, you know, type of thing. But are you hearing what I'm trying to say? The prophet here, what was your, I want to say issue, frustration? Urgency. Oh, that was it. He said, for me, it's frustrating is I don't always see the urgency. Being a prophet, urgency, what does it mean? What he's actually saying, I'm seeing you compromising. When you give that excuse, what I'm hearing is there's an idol. Because that thing is more important than God. Are you with me? So sometimes it's actually good not to give excuses to a prophet. But rather say, no, I know you want this. This is the expectation. You get what I'm saying? So when we talk about the frustrations even, share what is it doing to you or what is the experience you have rather than the superficial topic. Does it make sense? Because a lot of times, even if the ruler, I had this discussion last night with him also, if you've got, let's say, a servant or mercy pastor like David, and now he wants to manage on Sangha, he's probably going to feel, David, why do you micromanage me? I'm a ruler. I hate to be micromanaged. You know? Or he might feel the speed at which we govern this church is not fast enough. I like my speed. There's not enough pressure here. Give it to me, I will do this. But at the same time, let's say David is mercy's servant, and he feels just a little bit of rejection in when he gives his way of vision, his way of leadership. What will a servant mercy person feel when there's any sense of not working together? Disloyalty. So, Asanga will only hear micromanagement, you don't trust me, and David will only hear you're not loyal. So when you work with a servant and mercy type person, always communicate your loyalty. And as I said to him last night also, even if you're a ruler, there's ways of communicating without sounding rebellious. For example, let's say the pastor gives a vision or idea, what typically a ruler or even the teachers will do. They will say, yes, but what about this? And what about that? Did you think about this? If you're the leader or the pastor, what do you hear? Oh, no, they don't want to buy into my idea here. They're rebellious. That's got submission issues. We're going to give you all a John Bevere book to work through. What is a better way of communicating the fact that you saw, because you're a ruler, because you can see detail? A better way of communicating this is, thanks Carlos, I hear exactly what you want. Can I help with the organizing with this? Or can I help with just putting this into a systematic flow on how to do this? An exhorter says, thank you Carlos, I will mobilize the people. You don't need to do it. But the pastors also need to understand, if you're not an exhorter primarily, maybe you shouldn't do the announcements. Maybe you shouldn't do the mobilizing. Get the person who's very good at it to do it. And sometimes even in church, we've got this expectation that the pastor must be able to do everything. But reality is, no, his chance is good. He's only good at two of those things. The pastor must realize, I have the self-confidence to give away some of the other giftings. Okay. Does that help? Are you learning something? So next time when you communicate, think before you even communicate, what is the thing that you really want to communicate? Is it a caring thing? Is it about stewardship? Is it about respect? Is it about loyalty? Is it about, you don't trust me, I feel micromanaged, type of thing? Are you all with me? Quickly, is there any questions that anyone have now? Any questions? You can quickly do testimony. So we don't have a lot of more time. I quickly, just for the last exercise, and then we're going to have communion and just finalize some of the stuff. What is your, I want to say, story, you shared in the church in Weybridge or in a small group? There's how many hours in a month?
Oh, 168 hours
in a week. Is that per week? Is that how you work it out? So there's 168 hours a week, and how he communicated into the small group, if you can help me correctly. I'm going to summarize. Basically, 8 hours for church stuff. Okay? Now, this time, I want you to actually start off with the... Let's say your pastor in your church says there's 168 hours a week, and we as a church only want 8 of those hours. Obviously, Carlos is to the prophet side. He sees that is urgency. We must get away all the other idols. But if your pastor would say to you, 168 hours, I want 8 hours, what would a servant and a mercy typically experience? The rest we're going to do the rest also, but for the sake of time, I want us to start with the mercy and servant people, because they usually don't get the opportunity to talk in groups like this. Okay, are you all, do you know what to do? I think what was a good, and I remember I hope rather this is the start of a way of communication. And next time when you make decisions, try and think about all the giftings and even just ask them. One of the things that came out here, we were asking about how should we communicate the 8 hours a week thing. And the mercy person answered, well, just come tell it to me personally. That is really true. If those are mercy people and servants, they don't like it to just get this general communication about this is what we're doing. So I know even from my own time when I was pastoring a church, I, for example, had this one lady, Carol was her name, she's very strong in mercy. So whenever there was some semi-radical decision, just a little bit of change actually, I knew for her, I needed to go personally and tell her, Carol, we're going to do this. I know you probably are worried about this and this person, how it's going to react, or, you know, what's going to be the response on this person. But I just want to come and share this with you. I know this is important to you. Then the rest of my leadership group, I knew they're not mercy. For them, I pretty much sent an email. And they're happy with it. You understand? So some people, if you want to communicate, you know that person don't like, or it's not good with general communication. I like the more personal coffee date or something like that. Are you with me? If you're more the ruler, especially, all that you want, and it actually came out here, just be clear in your communication. What do you actually mean? You know, 8 hours, you know, like Margaret said, my program is planned way ahead, and now you suddenly come here with 8 hours. You know, just tell me exactly so I can plan. So a lot of times, again, the prophet might hear Margot saying her diary is an idol. Oh dear, did Ian say the amen? Or what happened? But what Margot actually is just saying, no, I like to be cleared. So it's not an idle thing, it's just a planning thing. Don't do things in church last minute. You understand? So a lot of you guys will probably have that frustration, this last minute thing. So that means yes. But again, in this case, you can all go in a place of frustration and even offense, or ask the pastor, can I help you with this? A ruler, for example, will probably take just a few minutes to figure it out and help with the planning. If you would give that to a mercy person, it's not going to work. Are you with me? So even from the pastor, from a stewardship point of view, use the best people in the best positions because they can do it the best with the shortest even time. Yeah, some of the mercy people might even need some direction sometimes because they will want to spend too much time on certain things. So again, you need someone to help you with your priorities or the servant type people. Now you can't spend 20 hours preparing for the table there. Are you with me? That's too much effort going into there. Okay, what else did we... Oh, she was just talking about the role of HQ, where they are, you know, she doesn't understand, but again, she's coming from a place basically of a ruler, and it's basically communication, clear communication. So she feels unsafe, basically, in the relationship if the communication is not clear. That's basically what she's saying. If you make the communication more clear, I will feel more safe with the structures even in church. If they function better. I still hear the same. It's a trust. You want to trust. I'm a small group guy. I hear trust there. But you'll understand. Does it help? Cool. I'm going to end off with prayer now. And then I'm going to give it over to David. Amen. Father, we want to thank you, God, just for, again, even today we can see when you created us, your creativity, Father God. Father, and you're so amazing, Father God, that you understand all of us. And I pray, God, that even to today, I pray, God, that each of us here, Father God, that we will bring all our frustrations and even past offenses and pain and all these things, and we will come and give it as a sacrifice unto you, Father. I pray, God, that even in a spirit that we draw a line today, Father, and say, Father, from now on, Father God, we're going to communicate better, we're going to respect one another better, Father God, we're going to show honor. Thank you, God, that today is only a beginning, Father God, of walking in this thing of understanding, really seeking how the other person is seeing and feeling about this situation. Father, at the same time, I pray, God, that all the things that happened in the past, Father God, will not influence our way forward, Father. But Father, we will really, like you, when you forgive us, Father God, everything is like a zero, back to a zero. I pray, God, that we will forgive one another. Father God, and really get to that place of forgiveness, Father God. It's like the basic love that you show also towards us. And I pray, God, that you will come through your Holy Spirit in a gentle way. Come and heal us even from anything that's unforgiveness in our heart. I pray, God, that, and I thank you, God, that even that this is a ship, Father God, we're moving forward. Father God, and your Holy Spirit is the wind in our sails, Father God, and you're even holding the steering wheel. And we all of us are just part of the bricks. We're only part of the tools on that ship, Father God. Thank you, God, even for this weekend, Father, and I pray that your Holy Spirit will keep on be the teacher in our lives, Father God. I pray, God, for every seed that was sown, Father God, that you will come and water it, and it will bear a lot of fruit, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, even as we go back, it's not just relationships here in church, it's at work, it's in our families. And I pray, God, the things that we've learned here on this weekend, we will go and apply it even in our relationships outside of church, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Yankor.